Hello, listeners, and welcome back to a new episode of Connecting with Nature. Today is the 27th of February, 2024. I'm Linnea, currently in Helsinki, and with me are Madeleine, Emma, and Manon, studying sustainable organizing in times of crisis at Hanken School of Economics. In today's episode, we will talk about building deeper connection with nature and ecosomatic movements, about understanding the idea of the human species as part of nature and more than human organizing. We are happy to welcome to today's podcast our guest, Gabriela Ariana, an artistic ecopreneur with her roots in Chile. She will tell us about her experiences connecting with nature and her work as an ecopreneur. Welcome, Gabriela.
I'm Gabriela Ariana Aldana. Originally from Chile, I was born there and I lived there until I was 20. I am a performance artist. I ended up being a performance artist, but I studied with dance. Parallel to my, let's say, official studies, I had the honor to learn also about the traditions of my country and all what was related with the worldview of I wouldn't say of my country, but of the indigenous people of my country. I lived in dictatorship. There was a dictatorship for my first 17 years of life, and that had a huge impact in me, as it had a huge impact in everyone in my country and everything in my country, because this also impacts our nature and a lot, and also how we relate with it and all of that, because it brings the extreme capitalism into our country. So in this context, there is no awareness, no respect for nature and for humans as nature either. So, but that impacted me because since I started dancing since I'm four, so my doing with the body is, it has been like the thing, my body has been the information source of how I see life and also herbs and trees and all of that, that it was more related with the cosmovision that I don't want to say like learning like from books, but the experience, yes,
yeah,
the word, mm-hmm. Very important one. My main question at a certain point, it was like, how is that possible that people can get to do these atrocities? So I was really busy with that when I came to the university. So I went to study psychology but nothing seems to give so much, you know, like answers. I it was a feeling like, yeah, but people get mixed up because they happened this and that. Yeah, but what then? And then I went to philosophy, and then I went to physics. I studied quantum physics, and it was a great university where you could go to different classes. You had your main thing, and then you could go to research. I don't know how universities are right now, but at least I studied biology as well with Umberto Maturana, that is somebody that we know in common with Maria. So I just needed desperately to understand like why that is happening. And maybe every time I said, oh, it's because of that. But then, it's the way of the researcher. It's like, you find this, but then this comes with a gift, which is the next question, and question again this thing. And I think this is a gift because everything is moving, and we're supposed to move and learn all the time. And well, to make it short, I think I could say I was an artist with all of that. For me, the art is the way that I can make myself understandable the best. Because for me, to make myself understandable is to open and share my experience with others, which then brings me to the performance art. And I left behind the fact that I would be a dancer and the other would look at me only, that we would almost be sharing in a space, kind of. And I needed more and more to make it like even more concrete. So I went out from the theaters and I stepped into the forest. And in this middle of things, I already left from Chile. I spent 2.5 years in Central Europe doing this crazy life of freelance dancers in different countries, in different projects. And in each country I went, in each culture I step in, I always try to find out what is here about nature, what is here about indigenous or even ancient religions or worldviews. I was always very interested on that and continue writing and continue thinking and continue experiencing. I also got a degree as a body therapist in the university. So I was working also with people in therapy, in body therapy. Body therapy is something, you know, somebody could think it's something cosmetological nowadays, but nowadays we speak about somatic movement therapy or somatic movement education. So I was navigating with these things, and when I came to Finland, this hits me a lot, this situation, because there was the nature here. People seems to want to go to nature and to go naked to the sauna and to jump into the lake and all these kind of things, but still there was something that it was missing, which I always related with the connection with nature, which is the sense of community. So at the moment I always felt that, of course, if you have a connection with nature, the sense of community is there. It just raised up from that. But I noticed and felt very strongly that was really missing in this country, in Finland. And with no judging, I'm saying that I'm just noticing things. So that was interesting. Because I thought like, but is it so? And da, 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 da. So I start to question, but what then is this connection? Like, is it that the connection is not just? So that is how it started. And I did some work as a dancer for many years just to make myself, you know, have the money to pay the bills and all these things here in Finland. I went back to dancing in theaters and things like that. But very soon I realized like, oh no, this is, I just cannot stand it anymore. And and I went back to the forest, which is easy to go here because it's like 200 meters of where I live. It's a city forest, so it's not like a forest really, but it's trees, it's nature. There is the soil, there is the blueberries, and there is some snakes even, which is always a good sign, because it means that, I mean, if they can live there, it means that there is something good there. And yeah, so I've been for the last 17 years or more, yeah, 19 years. I moved to Finland in the 2000s, so I've been here for 24 years. So, but for the last 19 years, I've been doing my research in the forest, and also giving up on many things so that I can be not only work on that, but live like that.
I'm just thinking, like, this topic, like, more than human, and being, like, connecting to nature, it feels like, for some of us, and at least for me, it feels like we have heard about it, and we're like, especially in Finland, like, the nature is so strongly built in us, and we are, like, loving our nature, but of course that can't be the same for everybody, like, everybody in the world, but I think, like, this kind of mindset of more than human and prioritizing the nature, and not only to prioritize, but to actually, I don't know, connect with the nature in a sense, like being more, how can you say, like, intra-connect or action with the nature, rather than, like, you know, interconnect. It's like this different way of mindset, and I think how, like, but the people you work with, what kind of people and persons are that you work with? Like, is it regular people? Or, because you have to be, like, some sort of person to maybe have already thought about this ecosomatics, or already thought about this topic, or being more aware of the nature.
Yeah, I hear you very well, and I see you as well. I'm gonna sense that your everything that you said, and I'm gonna try to. First of all, I would invite you, invites anyone that is interested to reflect on the connection as what it is. What are we talking about when we talk about connecting? What means that? And I'm not going to answer that. I'm not just inviting you to reflect by yourself. The second is, like, do we need to connect with nature, or are we connect with nature? And what then that means when we talk about we have to learn to connect with nature? This is the first thing that came to my mind when you were talking. The other thing is more related with what you were asking about with who I work then.
Yeah.
Well, I see myself in my work, because we talk about my work, I see myself as a student more than as a... I go to nature with no plans. Maybe a tons of questions, but no plans. And I go there to surrender and let the things raise up. This is a very basic, normal, common way of being, which you can find in many indigenous cultures as a way of learning, where you surrender to receive the teachings and not... without trying to control the how or the in which form it will come to you, the knowledge. Because the thing is that in my experience of human as nature, I carry the knowledge, but I'm not aware of it because it's in because one is not only in me for me to realize it, and two, I'm not aware of it. So how I make myself aware of it, I have to switch into other state of being, which is an state that is not about, as an example, to go with my perfect plan. I'm gonna do this and this and do that. I'm gonna do such a choreography that everybody will like, and I'm gonna go to the forest and I'm gonna do it there, and it will last 40 minutes and it will have 10 dancers and it will be so famous, you know, I will get so much funding for that. and so I, you know, I go with the plan there. And no, I just go there as a human, as an animal, and recognizing that the knowledge I have is minimum. Especially if I rely only in the rational knowledge, especially is minimum in comparison with the great knowledge of life itself, which is this planet and even the cosmos. It has a knowledge as well. And so I'm this one person. So I go there with this idea of surrendering and because surrendering is actually the only one way to step in this field of the non-rational. It's a field of not controlling the what it comes and go. It's a field of yielding into nature and surrendering and being. But with awareness, I mean, I felt asleep as well. But you know, the idea is not to fall asleep, but because you. And the one that is informing you of everything is your body, because it's who we are. I mean, the big question: who we are? Well, we are nature, and it's a body, and we can sense the thing. So through our senses, yes, our body informs us of everything. Anyone can do that because it's a human capacity.
Yeah.
Anyone can do that.
That's
it's
true.
For free. So now is the part of my reflection that is very critic of society. It is very critical of how we have understand human relations, education, you know, working place dynamics, industry dynamics with the workers, like all of that, without not even yet getting into the ecological part of how we have built things well.
Yeah, and since also I feel like in today's society, like the life of us is so hectic, like we are always getting emphasized and encouraged to like push forward always, and you know, thinking forward all the time, but rather also needing to, I feel like the challenge is to actually learn to just exist and to, like, you know, stay in the moment and relax a little bit, and you don't have to always like rush everywhere and, you know, be hectic and everything. So I think everybody should practice this in the sense of their own mental health and also, you know, calming down in the sense.
Well, and that's right. That's totally right. And I see it also as a, you know, the society that where we live is not something that just came like that. There was people thinking on how to build a society so that the power or power money would stay into some little group of hands, and then the others would be the workers working to keep up this standard of life. That has been always like that, like always. Like we are talking about like the times of the Platon, the philosopher. I mean, we are when he wrote The Republic. I mean, this is old stuff. It's very clear. I mean, in the propositions that this person does, and but also we have the big message for for our West society, which comes even from the Bible. Like I have enormous respect for anyone's religion. I'm just I've been just researching and noticing things. But there is a part I don't remember from outside, but you can even Google it if you want. Like what God says to Eve and Adam. And you will read there. He says, like, look, this is the world, and it's yours. Do whatever you want with it. Like, take from there whatever you want. Huh? So, wouldn't be different if, for instance, this God would say, like, you are from here, and this is part of you. You depend on this nature, so you gotta respect it and take care of it. Be careful. Take only what you need, not what you want, because you might want too much. Take only what you need, and have enough, and search that others also have enough. You know, but you can read it. You can Google it if you want. The idea that settles the in this idea, this Bible written idea, it has been influencing like a lot in the mindset of Western society.
What you say, it made me think of the fact that, as you say, it's in our culture. It's the idea and the philosophy that we learn. We see the way it is. This is what we teach to our children, we teach to their children. It comes from Platon. It's come from really a long time. And it goes with the idea that now we feel, as you said, that we are on Earth, in the world, but not a part of it. And from what we saw in class too, I was thinking maybe the kind of thing that we should tell the children right now, since very young, to make them know that the world they are living, they are a part of it. They're not just on it. And this is a way of thinking that could help then in the future, because when you think about the world as a part of you, you're more attached to it, and maybe it could make people change their mindset. Because if nature is being destroyed and if there are so many problems right now, it's because people don't feel linked to it. And this is, I think, the main problem we have right now. And from what I see, your work can help beginning with the mindset and with the feeling.
Yes, I hear you and totally agree with you. There is one thing that is very important, and I have noticed that for a quite long while, and this is this idea about telling, because it seems that telling is not enough, because I don't exactly know, but I think it was even in the 1800 and something that there was this first person explaining that about the emissions and about the climate, the warming, and already in that moment there was somebody. I think it was a Swedish researcher. I don't remember. I really don't remember. Sorry, but it was this. I remember that it was already in the 1800 and something that somebody already spoke about. So we've been speaking about the problems with ecology, the problems with the living a non-sustainable life and building our society in a non-sustainable way for such a long time. And nothing has changed it enough. And it's getting worse. It is getting worse and worse. So I have a deep belief, which it comes from my experience, that it's not enough to tell people. It just doesn't go through because our bodies, the cellular information in our bodies, creates something that in ecosomatics, which is how I call what how I work with the with the body and the body of all. I mean, bodies is the nature is a body somehow, or it is. There is a kind of as if you have code something. So you code something to be like that, and this information, this learned, this cultural way of being and way of relating with ourselves, with each other as human, with everything that is alive, meaning nature, creates something that we could call a tone. A body tone, and that means that we have tone means all the tensions and distensions we have in our body. So if this doesn't change, your understanding will not change because you will not be able to open up necessarily for new ideas if the container of these ideas is all the time staying in this old coding or in this old tone, in this old program. I don't know if I make myself understandable. So what I believe we need is the experience. We need the experience. I remember when I became a mother, and I had this kid, and I didn't know nothing about kids, and much less about being a mother because I haven't been a mother before. I mean, it was my first, and I wanted to be so good mom. So I wanted that she has a very good self-esteem and that she, you know, all the best you want to know, all the things I didn't have, the, like support, you know, you start to make your plans. But suddenly you realize that no matter how much you try, they will struggle with life. And I noticed that she starts to struggle with things that it wasn't logic that she would be struggling with because I took care of telling her that it's fine, this and this and that and that. So why she was, I used to tell her like from the first day she was born, like why she's struggling with that. And that it was, a, you know, again, kids teach us so much about ourselves, especially. And so I realized, okay, but... well, at a certain point, after feeling guilty of not being enough a good mother and all this stuff, I realized that the kids never learn what you tell them, but they learn what they experience. And as a mother, you are their soil. So they experience you. So if you want that they learn to take care of their needs and you don't do it, they will never learn that.
Yeah.
And we are, when we don't know nothing, when we don't know about something, we are like kids on that. So we adults even need to have the experience, to have the soil in order to be able to transform or to change so that when you look around and relate with others, that will change as well. And I think this is the missing thing in all this. Like, there are so much studies, so much brilliant researchers, people talking about, like, people talking in these things that they organize with all the presidents and all the da-da, and they go and talk, and they scientific people, like, proving even the whole thing, you know? And here we are, warming up. So what happened? You know, how you can convince a millionaire that has been making their money in, you know, let's put an example. I'm not against all millionaires. No, it's not about that. It's about just trying to explain about my point, which is, you know, a millionaire that, you know, exploding oil and, you know, selling it. Like, they don't get convinced with all the research. They are not they will not give up their millions in order to change the world. They don't do that. And it's because they have so built another tone, another body tone. And this is how we do things. And there is no way that maybe somebody, some millionaires have changed a little bit their strategies, but not at all enough. I mean, we could be in a much better place already. And we are not. We are in a much worse place already. If we want to change the future, we need to give the kids a different kind of education where they can experience themselves, where they can get in touch with their bodies, where they can learn from that, not to believe that they belong, but to experience that they belong. Not to believe that we have to recycle the garbage, but that we need to recycle the garbage. That this is related with the future food we will eat or not have. But the education is the same as the over 1,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. They are learning almost the same thing. There are some variations, but they are always about telling about the global warming. Okay, they get anxiousness attacks. No, it's not that. I mean, we need to recover the experiential knowledge. We need to recover the belief that even I cannot explain it with words, even I cannot measure it, it will give me, it will offer me a reset in my body, that experience, a recycling, a resetting in my body, and things will change. And at one point, this resetting, it has to be collective. It has to be a collective experience. Because this is not this kind of me, myself getting healed. No, it doesn't happen like that. I mean, what is that if you will still live in this society? I mean, so many people. For a while, I was organizing retreats because I thought, like, okay, one day is not enough. We need like a bigger time to experience nature so that things can start changing. But then I realized, well, this is not enough either, because then we will come back to the same situation. So we go back to that same situation of a society that doesn't understand these things that maybe you experience in your retreat of 4 days or 5 days in the forest, and then you totally collapse again in a short while, or you know. So this needs to go to the roots, and it needs to be constant, and it needs to be part of everything. So that it can start changing. Well, this is, of course, only my point of view, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, which is performance art, when I open a spaces for everyone to come to experience this. And right now I'm working with resting collectively.
would that look like or include? How does that for someone, for me, like I don't know what that like means. What would that include?
Nothing extra. I mean, anyone can come and rest together. And the only thing that I used to do is to hold the space. And I have right now I got a founding, so I can have also a working group. So in the working group, there is a musician. Also, I guide with ecosomatic guidings. The idea is that you don't need to, you are already the nature we need to put together. So you might need resting because we are all tired. Oh, so this is something in common we have. So why not? The thing is that why resting is related with my reflection about how we can connect or how we can become aware again about the connection we have. And I search a lot about that, and I even create many kinds of ecosomatic experiences and all of that. Finally, to realize that, yes, they also help you. They also keep up the thing. They also give you something. But the main channel to be able to reset our bodies from this tone, from these old tones that are not the ones helping us to create the solutions, is by resetting your body. And you cannot reset the body if you don't rest. And I believe that we have even lose the capacity of resting in this world nowadays. Humans are not really like resting, because before, at certain point, maybe the go to sleep at night, it was enough for resting. But we have enormously this problem of, well, first of all, people that have problems to fall asleep, but also the people that wake up really tired, even they have slept, and you are all the time just tired. And this is a sickness of this society.
Yeah.
Like even kids are nowadays a lot feeling super tired, and they are struggling with mental illnesses and problems that you would think that have a person in that are is 40, 50, and no, I mean, I have had some clients that are in the daycare, and they are just all the time tired, and went to the doctor and nothing is wrong. And they are just super tired, you know. It's something. It's very clear. So we need to rest, and we need to rest collectively, because the collective experience is what will create the transformation, the change, the resetting. Otherwise, it will be non-sustainable.
The collective side is something that you talked about in your answer and when you were explaining. And I'd like to know, because, well, I'm not Finnish. I'm from France, and I lived, for example, in Belgium. And I'd like to know if what you're doing, you know, the cosmetics way, the artistic way of live with nature and all, well, you know, feeling what you explain, is it elsewhere? Can we find this sort of movement in France, for example, in other parts of the world?
What I know is that ecosomatic is not a concept that I create. I think it started in the year 2008, the first time that somebody started talking about ecosomatics. And in the field of somatic movement.
Yeah.
Nowadays, this somatic word is fashion. It's, they put it on top of everything. So do not get lost. I'm talking about somatic movement. And from the field of somatic movement that have existed, like I would say it started like during or in between the First and Second World War, when the soldiers would come back from the war and they would have these war traumas. So they would be like healthy, but then they would have an enormous amount of problems to readjust, and they would have panic attacks and even like many, many problems of mental health. So that was like even psychiatrists didn't know what to do or how to help them. So that was from this psychiatrist and from people working even in rehab with very physically, let's say, they start to question like, what is this that is ill now? And they start to realize that they would study very deeply that and observe very deeply and experience very deeply and realize after many years that that when you have a strong experience, it gets encoded in your body and your body changed totally the way that it function. And when the body changed how it functioned, it changed the way that you feel, that changed the way that you think, that changed that you perceive anything. So from that moment start to develop more and more the field of somatic movement. And it's a very long story, so I will not go on that. But just to tell you that this is something that it's for years. This is not a new product of the in the market. This is long story. And about year 2007 and 2008, the start from these people, from among these people, somatic movers, practitioners, and educators and therapists, this idea of bringing this practice to nature. And, you know, in this somatic movement, there is not such a thing as creating brands. We share a lot. Of course, there are people that have come from there create brands, but you know that the mainstream of this, because it's about a lot about community. So ecosomatics is a term that anyone can use. I also want to point out that in France there is a very strong, you can even study somatic movement in France, like legally get you can study that in France. In France there is a very big movement of somatic movement, especially coming from Bonnie Bainbridge Cohen, which is one of the main people that have been really like creating methods and studying the body so deeply. Many of her students were the ones coming up with the ecosomatic. And there is also the social somatics as well, because actually having this kind of training in somatic movement, you can actually apply it in anything. Like even if you have a business, like you could apply the concepts, the ways of create community, and you could definitely apply it in anything, in everywhere you are. Like I would dream that when people study to become teachers of our children would have that training. Like it would change, like really, like it would impact so much the world.
Yeah. It could be a way to spread the ecosomatics way. If we begin to do that, we bring it home, we experience it with friends who then experience it with friends.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. It's like I when I hear you, I think like yes, and then I see immediately the situation, which is that we are so tired. We have this good idea now. Okay, next time you go somewhere, you take your friends and you go to rest to the forest, and you just breathe and rest for a while. Like if you get anxious because of this and not doing, you can even put a time so that you know you can calm your anxiousness and have a time, for instance, like a half an hour, and then you just slowly come up and sit down, and then maybe you can sit in circle so that everybody feels that it's included, and then anyone that wants to say something or do something can do it or say it. Like if somebody wants to sing or move or shout or say a poem or continue resting, or you witness each other. This will be like a first experience of being together in that way, and this experiential knowledge requires time, requires that you come back to the same thing, and it goes layer by layer, and it has like as layers as you go there, it will always have a new layer. So of course you can do it. Of course, to be an ecosomatic practitioner, it's not just to go and rest with your, because it includes also that you can hold the space in a sustainable way for others. So that might require from you to train yourself, which is mainly to go so deep yourself in those experiences so that then you can share them, because you cannot, again, be the soil of anyone else unless you are the ready soil. I have the urgency to mention something, because when I talk about when it started, the somatic movement, I talk about the white history of it. But especially everything that is related with ecosomatic, I want to acknowledge the very old and ancient knowledge of indigenous cultures, because they knew all of that. Everything that we are talking now, it's not brand new thing. It's so old. And they knew. And the groups of them that are still keeping up this way of living, they know it now. But why I want to acknowledge that, because I know by talking with like old teachers of somatic movement, that they know and they remember that they had their meetings with these indigenous peoples at certain point. And they got inspired by them to bring this cosmovision, these worldviews into the field of somatics. Unfortunately, not ever including them. For me, it's very important that that we can call now ecosomatics, and we put a name of that, is actually the very way of understanding the world, in the very world of living, that we as humans had in ancient times, in the times where people lived in tribes, and we talk about indigenous people, but we are as human as them. So if I would say like our ancestors, our human ancestors, because we have human ancestors and are human ancestors as well. This is something very important to remember and to mention.
Yeah. I would have a question that I'm interested in also, as you should practice this, like you said, collectively. I'm just thinking about the relation to animals in this, because Like for me, myself, and I think many others also, they find that they connect with animals on a much different level than maybe humans or anything else. Like, how do you find like animals in this equation with working collectively with other humans during these sessions, or could animals also be included?
Well, the thing is, if you look at the horse's eyes, you might even if you're open to it, you might get even healed in that very moment. But when you come back and you know, and I'm saying you, but I'm talking about me, anyone. If somebody come back to visiting that horse to own working place, for instance, and you have the same human people around you, that I'm going to use this word that is very, very, very used lately, triggers you in many ways. That means that maybe you can use the experience with the horse to help you to cope with this trigger. But this one will not change in a sustainable way that for the next 10 years you will ever get triggered with that. Because the thing is, the humans, the human species, we need other humans. We need other humans as well. And we have a need to feel they belong in a way to our own species and to other humans. Not to everyone, but to at least, one or two people at least. And that we can feel safe among humans. Not everyone, again, but at least have this experience, because this is what it will build in you. The connection with other species will support enormously you, probably. I would say yes. But there will be still missing. And we need to recover this capacity, because when we do terrible things in this world, we do it against humans. I mean, we do it against nature, of course, but we do it against each other. We in a sense, what I mean is, like, you do throw the bomb on top of the other place, what is other people, because they don't agree with what you say. We do these kind of things. We are able to. And none of the sustainable, like none of the sustainable moves that we will do to make things better will save the fact that in any moment somebody decides that I don't agree with you, so I will throw a bomb on your city. So in that sense, I feel that it's super important and basic that we also learn to have these experiences that can open possibilities of relating with yourself and each other's, because the how the world is a reflection, because we took all, we own it all. So we now the world is unfortunately just a reflection of what humans are doing here. Like hardly you find these spots in the world that are only a reflection of the nature happening there. So we have to take the responsibility if we are here like deciding what happened with every forest around, we have to take the responsibility of learning how to relate with ourselves and with each other's humans.
It's community, I think it's kind of the word we have to remember. Take time to listen and community. If we could, I don't know, conclude it in a way, how would you conclude it? With these words or?
Maybe I can just one thing add, which is related with that, the way that you go to the forest at the end is not that you go to the forest to heal. It's not about that. Not even in the community, not even in okay. group. The attitude is different. The attitude is we start from going to not do, to rest. But the aim is not to extract the healing from the body or to use to extract the healing from the forest or to use the resources of the forest to heal ourselves. Human, we are so important, blah, blah. No, it's about also surrendering in that way that you sense what you are giving to the forest. So it's creating a dialogue with nature. Okay. This is where you tap into a different kind of field. This is connection. So, yeah, it's about creating a dialogue and listening. I would say even listening more than going ourselves to talk or to ask so much.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to conclude. I would like to thank you again because I think for my part, I discovered a lot of things because when I arrived, I looked a bit, I researched a bit ecosomatics, what you were doing, but it was unclear. And with your answers, with the questions, it's still, you know, as you said, we cannot just, it's, from us, we cannot just learn to connect. It has to come from us. It has to be mutual. But I think I understand it really better. And this is something I would like to try. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Well, I will, I with our group, well, our working group, we will be offering open practices. So welcome.
Thank you.
No, yeah, I just wanted to thank you also. I found this super, super interesting. And I should, this topic and all of this should be, you know, become more in our people's awareness and talk about this more and also practice this. So, yeah, also from my side, thank you so much for this, for your insights. And also.
Thank you. And I hope it serves you well. And I hope we see you around, maybe you come to the practices or I don't
know. But thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a nice week.
Yeah.
You too.